Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I'm delighted today to bring my co-host, Charlene McNeil. Hi, Charlene.
Hi there, everybody.
So, this is a marvelously spring day here, and I hope everybody out there is enjoying it, too. What's it like at your place, Charlene?
Oh, it's wonderful. Everything's blooming, and it's green, and the flowers and trees are out, and it's grand.
Makes you feel like everything's going to be okay, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I wondered why we have the spring after the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is you have all these great, vibrant colors, and they balance all your chakras and put all the chakras and their energy centers in from all the brilliant colors. So,
isn't that an interesting thought? I have never thought of that before.
Yeah, it's like an awakening, you know. Winter's beautiful, but it doesn't have all those colors.
Well, let me ask you something about that, Charlene. You made an incredible statement that, now, is the balance of the chakras because you are seeing colors and
yes.
This is going through the eye, or is it the vibration of the color itself that's balancing the chakra?
Actually, both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're using all of our senses in order to bring more clarity to ourselves. So it's just a wonderful time of the year when everything is blooming and beautiful, and, you know, you're just kind of absorbing it into your soul. I look at it and think, say to God, is there some way I can retain this forever? It's so beautiful.
I just find that such a fascinating thought. This is a new thought to me about colors coming in through the senses in some fashion to balance the chakras. Now, while we're on that subject, what would happen to, what would a person do whereby they would imbalance the chakra?
By being negative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say a person is negative over something. Oh, my golly, this has been such a terrible week. I just can't seem to get through it, can't take care of my duties. And so there's a certain sense of negativity there, but perhaps feeling overburdened, overwhelmed, maybe not feeling that they can live up to their desires. What chakra might that affect?
Well, actually, it could affect all of them, actually. You know, I guess looking at it, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, because even with myself, when things are so traumatic and you're going through so much trauma, it's hard to look at it and say, what is the lesson I'm learning? What do I need to know? And then just say to God, do you think maybe we could just make this a short trip on this learning process? You think we could hurry up this process? That's sometimes what I say. You think this learning process could be accelerated so I'm not suffering quite so long?
Well, you've really got me going on this chakra business. I got to ask you some more questions on this one, Charlene.
Okay.
Let's say a person has gone through a very difficult time for whatever reason, been under a lot of stress, you have it, they've gone through it, you know. And how would that person know that a particular chakra is out of balance?
Well, most people within themselves know that they just aren't feeling quite up to par or not feeling quite right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just something, it's a knowingness. You just mm-hmm. know something's wrong.
Okay, let's say I've been through a lot of stress, feel miserable, just know that something's wrong. It doesn't necessarily occur to me, one of my chakras is out of bounds. But let's say we're smart enough to consider that. What might a person do?
Well, you know, when I was in class and in training, one of the things, the smart thing I found that they did, and I tried to teach everybody, and that's to stand up and make a circle in front of you and then step into that circle and say, I now choose to be in present time. Because a lot of times what's going on is our thought patterns and our feelings are rush back into what I called before that sphere of understanding. So we're dealing with our what's going on now, and we're dealing with the feelings we had when we were growing up. So it's intensified by a hundredfold. But if you say, I now choose to be in present time, a lot of times what that is you're stating to your higher self, you know, let's just stay in the moment. Let's not keep flipping back there and picking up those vibrational frequency of the past. Because if you don't know how to clear it, and a lot of times you can just say, God, if I'm in the past with all these feelings, put me in the present time.
You know, this is fascinating, Sherlene, because let's take something that's not real far in the past. Let's just take something that happened, as an example, last week. You had
okay.
a disagreement with, say, one of your children, your boss, your husband, doesn't matter what it is. You had a disagreement with a loved one, a friend, an enemy, whatnot, and you just can't stop thinking about it. You know, you come back to that. So if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're basically doing is revisiting a past, a discomfort that happened in the past.
Right. That's a good word to use.
And so what you're saying is, in that situation, draw the circle. Now, do you actually step into the circle, or do you
just... Yes, just make an invisible circle with your hand in front of you.
Okay.
And make a circle clockwise, and then just step into that invisible circle and say, I now choose to be in present time now.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me, Sherlene. It sounds to me like you're programming the subconscious.
You are.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if, let's say that you have, like you said, a disagreement, or you're unhappy or sad about something that somebody's done to you, you're really picking up information from the past, and it accelerates it. So, like a hundredfold, those feelings, it's better to deal with what you're dealing with right now than going back and picking up all those feelings from the past. Doesn't mean that you don't go in and resolve it, but you can say, okay, is this a past feeling? If it is, ask God to pull it out for you. Say, I choose to be now. Let's just deal with the now. Pull out the past and give me the now.
Let's take that same situation where we've had a disagreement with someone, lack of cooperation, disappointment, whatever it is. The other person that you were interacting with, they had some feelings that they were putting into the mix also.
Right.
And maybe some of their feelings were anger, disagreement, lack of cooperation. Now, let's say we're smart enough to remember to draw the circle, get into it, and decide to be in the present. By doing that, are we disconnecting from those negative feelings from the other person that we interacted with?
Well, you can actually say that and recognize the fact that that individual is coming from what they understand. So it isn't all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recognize that they're reacting to you because of what they feel and believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we get involved with everybody else's energy, and it's hard for us to deal with our own plus theirs. So sometimes I have a lot of people that I just say, oh, you know, get yourself in present time. Let's deal with the moment. Let's see. Then we can do something that will clear that and let you know where it's coming from. Usually we can find it.
Yes, because sometimes you're feeling emotions and you're not quite sure where they're coming from, and they might not even be your emotions that you're reliving.
Well, their behavior is triggering something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's with intent. Some people do it with intent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to believe they do, but there's people that do it with intent. Most of it is to look at it and say, do I understand what's going on? But if you don't understand it completely, be in present time. It's kind of interesting. I used to, somebody get upset with me, or I didn't have a good relationship with somebody in our conversation or something, man, I would go over it and over it and over it.
Yes,
maybe if I said it this way, then they wouldn't have been upset, or maybe they wouldn't have been so verbally abusive with me, or, you know, you go through all of that scenario of trying to figure out how to make it right or how you could have made it right. And the thing is, you go into the left brain, which is which is the analytical brain, and it wants credibility. Mm-hmm. And you'll just rehash it and rehash it. The more you rehash it, the worse you get to feel. And you all of a sudden, you're not in control of your life anymore.
Very true.
Yeah.
Charlene, let's take a moment and invite our friends out there who might be listening to give us a call. Perhaps they're interested in a healing from you, or they want some insight from the cherubim, from some problems that they're having. They can reach us. The number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. We human beings are so complex. We've got the physical to consider. We have the emotional to consider. We have all of our past lifetimes that might be influencing us today. We have the DNA from our ancestors that might be affecting us in present time through emotional burdens of some kind or a physical distress. We also have energies that are coming to the planet today that are sometimes difficult to deal with. So we have a lot going on right now.
We also have energy that's being projected to us from other individuals, whether it's a positive or a negative energy field that they have that would project. And so we have to deal with that too. That's why they always say that we were pretty courageous to want to come and do this with so many challenges. And I look at it and I say, oh, I don't know about that. Maybe we should revote.
Well, of course, the other thing is we're not quite sure either about what's going on the other side. It might have their same challenges.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Considering
all of these things, we can be pulled in so many directions. And I kind of like the topic tonight that we're discussing is balance, how to keep balance. Let's start from the beginning, so to speak. How might one know that they are in unbalanced at the moment and need to work on some aspect of one of these ideas that we're talking about?
You mean if they feel imbalanced?
Well, they might not even know that it's unbalanced.
Well, I think that if we're feeling a lot of stress, of course, then we are unbalanced.
Yes. So stress is a trigger, or
right,
shall we say, something that we're experiencing that we know we have to work on something. So let's identify that, stress. And it's a very stressful world today, whether you're traveling in an automobile, going back and forth to work, whether you're waiting, you know, and you've got somebody cut you off, or a child does something that you're not happy with, the school calls in because one of your children has misbehaved. There's so many areas of stress. So let's talk first about stress. We're in a very high-stress world today. So let's talk about a couple things. First of all, about coping with stress and perhaps healing in some fashion ourselves when we're in stress and getting back into balance. So looking at that perspective, Charlene, what might you suggest to a person who is feeling that they're under the gun, so to speak, and have more stress in their life than they can cope with at the moment?
Well, I think that's kind of a personal or individual thing sometimes. What would stress me probably wouldn't stress somebody else.
Well, I wasn't talking so much about the stressors themselves, but rather
what's going on.
Yeah, whatever stressed them, the people are feeling uncomfortable and they know they're in stress. What would be some of your suggestions as to balance? Now, one of the things that you told us was about drawing the circle and being in present time.
Okay.
Now, what else might come to mind?
The direction I was going was using my own self as a reference.
Okay.
And that was saying, you know, I would go in and I'd say, oh, you know, I probably shouldn't have said it this way. And that's probably what triggered them being upset. And maybe if I did it this way, and then they wouldn't be mad at me, or they seem to be unhappy with me. So what if I did it this way next time? And I would go into that whole scenario. So what was happening is I was going into left brain.
Yeah, you're rationalizing it. Right. That's what I was going
to say. Yeah,
suggest.
You're rationalizing. Uh-huh. You're trying to figure it out. You're kind of trying to figure out where you went wrong, you know, and trying to figure out how to make it right. And even if you did with some individuals, it doesn't matter how you do it, it's going to end up wrong. It depends on the individual. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, to somebody, you know, I apologize for our miscommunication. But if it's that kind of individual that just won't accept that, then you know that they're in a space that it's their own space and you can't deal in their space.
No, you have to deal with your own, and that's
yeah.
what I'm asking you. What would a person who finds themselves in that situation, what would they do to work with getting in balance, healing themselves, whether it's seeking out another healer, if it is beyond working on themselves? So what might be some of the steps that a person might take?
Well, nowadays I do a lot better than I used to, and that is I look at it and I realize that person is probably dealing with their own issues, and it's probably a difficult time for them, unless it's a situation where I know that they really are being vindictive. It was very difficult for me for years to understand that there was some people that liked being controllers, they liked being vindictive. I didn't understand that. And if you see that you're involved with somebody like that, it isn't required that you stay in their space. Just understand where they come from and then step aside. But if I'm in stress about something, like let's say, for instance, we've been dealing in the last year with a lot of probably society in general, where there was a lot of confusion last year. It just seemed like the whole energy field was just reeking with everybody feeling confused, uncertain, all of those feelings that everybody was having, and it was kind of like everybody was feeling it. So I was looking at it and knowing that this too will pass, that it's only a small time frame, and it will be okay. There is a purpose, and I always say, well, you know, God's in charge, and there must be a purpose for this. Does that help a little bit?
Well, it does, but I understand what you're saying, but I was trying to get to a point as to what another person might do to clear that, and it's not necessarily going into left brain.
You mean doing something physical to help?
Well, yes. These were the sort of things that I wanted to talk about, because exercise, knowing that maybe the problem is with the other person, you need to do something to kind of help yourself walk away from that. And yes, sometimes thinking about it and realizing it's their problem and not yours, you might be able to physically, you know, some people clean house, they empty drawers, they
well,
run,
a lot of
they
people
exercise.
That are dealing with,
huh?
There's I have a lot of clients that are dealing with stressful situations, either with, let's say, family or friend or at the work.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we usually go in and ask God to change the energy field.
Ah, now let's discuss
that. That is probably what you're referring
to. Yeah, I
to.
Want to get to some positive thoughts for people. So you have a client that comes to you. They're involved in a situation that they can't seem to heal or move beyond. And so coming to you, you would work with them, and say this again as to how you would do this.
It's kind of interesting, how much changing having God go in and change the energy field between you and that other individual. Now, it doesn't, you can't force them because they have their own free agency. But it's kind of interesting how they cannot see that you're a part and feel all of a sudden that you're not a part of what they can project anymore. It changes the energy field.
Well, I find that fascinating. What happens when you ask God to go in and change the energy field? Now, you're watching this. What do you see?
Well, most of the time what I see is I see an energy, and it's a kind of a visual thing. I can see an energy between two individuals.
Okay.
It depends on what the energy field looks like. If it's a very dense, dark energy.
They're angry with each other.
Pardon?
I said, let's take an example. They're angry with each other. What are you seeing?
Well, I see a really dark energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very dense. It's almost like, sometimes I say it's kind of like before a bad storm, you know, you see all these clouds.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like that because mm-hmm. it becomes so dense. And that's what I see.
Now let's
say I ask God to clear that energy field between those two and change it to a positive. In other words, I'll say, you know, let's say this guy's name is John. Okay, John sees me in a positive way. I see John in a positive way. John interacts with me in a positive way. You see, because you're changing the field, aren't you?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Now, folks out there who are listening to us, almost half the show has gone by. Call in if you have a problem with someone that you're dealing with and you would like for Sherlene to work with God, to ask God to go in and change that energy so that it is not this difficult, struggle with one another, give us a call. This would be something very positive where we could work with you. 877-876-5227. Again, from Canada, 888-810-8322. This was where I wanted to go, Sherlene, kind of discussing situations that we find ourselves in today and how you're working with someone and basically how you would work with them to help clear that.
Well, let me use an example. Sometimes that helps.
Yes.
And this example, I was given permission to use. A lot of times I won't use it unless the individual is given an approval of it. In fact, this fellow said, you can use my name when you use the example. And I said, well, I don't really like to do that. Let's just keep it, not within a personal thing. And anyway, his father had left, he and his mother and their siblings, when he was quite young. And the father...
You mean deserted them?
Pardon, yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, and the child ends up feeling rejected.
Yeah,
the
abandoned.
The child feels abandoned. The child feels confused. The child feels like, what did I do wrong? Why didn't Dad love me?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Dad love me? Why doesn't he want to see me? See, there's all those feelings that arise from the child. So that is left with the child feeling insecure about themselves as they're growing up. So what we did is we went in and changed the whole feeling in the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind had been programmed with these other feelings and these thoughts that the child had. So we went in and had God change those feelings, changed it that my dad loves me, my dad wants to be with me, my dad puts an effort forth to see me, my dad and I have a positive relationship with each other, we communicate in a positive way. That's just some of the examples that we used, because usually I have the client come up with what they want put in. I don't do it.
I love that, and I think it's very important today for this kind of work, because you get stuck in a place and you don't know how to change it. Let's take another example. The work is probably going to be the same, but the situation is similar but different. This child now, instead of just feeling abandoned, perhaps has been abused in some fashion.
You mean abused?
Yeah, and this
they go through the same process, basically.
That's what I figured.
Because you're still that child. Then also what you have to do is teach the subconscious mind of the child that they are not responsible for that adult.
Mm-hmm.
Because the child grows up feeling totally responsible for the actions of the adult. And so then you release them of responsibility and blame for the situation. With his, it was kind of interesting because just before Christmas, or right after Christmas, he called me and said, "Guess who called me and came to see me?" And he hadn't seen him for at least 17 years.
Wow.
And so what it did was the energy was put into that's called the energy field, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's been put in the field. And when it's put in the field, you're dealing with the field, which is the energy field, the vibrational frequency of feelings, because it's been put in there. And once it's put in there, usually we reside within what we understand. So once we changed it in his subconscious, once God changed it in his DNA, in his heart, mind, in his cells, and in his past life, because in a past life, he probably was abandoned then too.
Mm-hmm. Because what I have noticed is that something that happens in the past, if you haven't resolved that, you attract the same thing in the present so that you would resolve the situation.
Right. Right. And so you get this opportunity to resolve not only the past issue that you had, but it's presented to you again because you've come forward into this life with what we call the cellular memory, right?
From yes, and I've wanted to kind of impress that upon people that many, it appears to me from what I have seen with working with individuals, and you're agreeing, is people that we see that have a problem of an emotional problem of whatever it is, and perhaps even a physical problem, that same situation occurred in a past lifetime, and we're sort of facing ourselves, so to speak.
That's right. It's kind of interesting how once that energy, because we're all energy and matter, and once that energy was shifted to a different energy field, then the father responded to the energy shift.
Charlene, I'm agreeing with you 100% about energy being in matter, but you know, we don't think, as human beings, we don't think of that too much because we identify with our body. It is our body that we're working with in this dimension, and we don't think too much of energy in matter. When you look at this with your spiritual eyes, is there something that you can share with us as to how this energy appears to you as it interfaces with matter?
Well, the vibrational frequency that each one of our cells operate within a vibrational frequency of God intelligence, but we have different information come and experiences in our life that come in, and it starts breaking in that into that. Give you an example? It starts breaking into that intelligence. In other words, it starts breaking down the higher frequency. It starts lowering the frequency. And then the body starts responding to that frequency because we are energy. It's just that when we look at ourselves and we look at each other, we see the matter.
Yes.
You know, but we're all these wonderful vibrational frequency. You never see the ears get mixed up with the eyes. They know exactly what their purpose is and their intent for us, and those cells know exactly what their purpose is, but they become diminished over the years because of what is going on.
Explain to me what you mean by that. The cells become diminished over the years.
It becomes diminished?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, it's kind of like, I wish I could find an example. If you have a frequency, those that deal in frequency or chemistry or the quantum field, they measure those frequencies. One of the highest vibrational frequency right now that is measured, what's his name? Anyway, I'll have to think of the name of the book, which is a good one. Those frequencies have now been identified with emotion has been identified with a frequency. Now, if you have a high frequency of love, gratitude, thanksgiving, that's a high frequency, right?
Yes.
Well, if you can maintain that, but like you said, the world we live in makes it kind of difficult to maintain that. So we have to keep reminding ourselves, you know, stay in the higher frequency. Stay in love, understanding. But if somebody's being kind or abusive, it is not required that we stay within that vibrational frequency of abuse. God does not require us to stay there. And a lot of times we think we need to stay there and give them love and rescue them and save them. That's not required because it will destroy our physical bodies.
You know, that's an interesting thought when you consider that there are people who have gotten involved in that sense of victim, being the victim. And if they stay the victim, they'll help the other person. And what you're saying is that emotional frequency will ultimately destroy the body. That's an interesting thought.
Yes. In fact, that is why the science of the metaphysical is so real.
Mm-hmm.
That is a science. Louise Hay started doing that in, the 60s? I guess I don't remember when she started. She studied on the science of the metaphysical, but there's a lot of people that have. And the metaphysical means that those emotions that you have are projected to a certain part of the body and your perception about it. And so it starts showing up on the physical body. So if I can go in there and have God clear that area, usually a lot of times that person will not have what it being presented to them at the time, because then the cells will rebuild back to the God intelligence. If you tell them the cells to go back there, God will go back and tell them for it to go back to the original intent, and they will.
Is what you're saying ultimately you change the original blueprint? Is that what you're saying?
Say that to me again.
In other words, our soul came, we incorporated in biology.
Right.
And it came with a blueprint of the body.
That's a good way to put it, yes.
Yes.
And the bodies come with, you know, your eyes originally had perfect knowledge of what its intent is. Every single one of those cells, they know exactly what its intent is to serve on this physical plane. The ears know exactly what its intelligence is for that. It's programmed for that. But we have experiences. Let's say that somebody is having a difficult time. Let's use let's say that I'm dealing with somebody that has got a problem, let's say, with their right eye. Good indication on the metaphysical level is it has to do with a female issue. And that female issue, that's just a kind of a barometer for me to go forward with and say, do you have a female male issue that you don't want to see, you don't want to deal with? I took some classes from a vision therapist a few times, and at one time he was considered legally blind. And when he was teaching the class, he didn't even have to have contacts or glasses, because he found that if you step back a couple of years from the time you started wearing the glasses, then you could find the issue associated with you wearing the glasses.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I know it was. And he came around to everybody in the class, and he said, "Do you wear glasses?" And if you said yes, he said, "Okay, what age did you start wearing glasses?" Then he'd say, "Okay, now go back 2 years before that. What was going on in your life that you do not want to see?"
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And there wasn't
stuff.
Anybody in the class that could not identify with it, including myself, because I looked at it and I thought, oh, my goodness, there was so much stress going on in my life, and me feeling so responsible for the stress, and there are some people like me, you know, that going to take on responsibility for everything that's going on in my life plus everybody else's. So I've had to learn how to step back, take responsibility for myself, and be helpful to somebody, but not take on their issue.
Hmm.
It's been a learning process for me. But he pinned every single one of us down to make us realize, why are you wearing the glasses or the contacts? And he told us exactly what his was and why he was losing his eyesight completely, because he did not want to see the world that he was living in.
Fascinating stuff, Charlene. Well, folks out there who are listening to my voice, we have probably about 15 minutes to go. If you can call in for a healing or a consultation with some other problem in your life that we can work with the cherubim, we are here at your service. But then, on the other hand, maybe you want to call Charlene for a private healing session. Charlene works privately. You can have her undivided attention, work on all of your issues. And, of course, if you call her at home and in her office and set up an appointment, there is a charge for that. Charlene, give your telephone number for those who maybe there are individuals who do not wish to discuss a problem over the air but want to contact you personally.
Okay, my phone number is 801-944-9346.
And you have a special for the BBS listeners. Do you care?
Yes, because you're calling me and hearing me on the radio, then I'll charge. I'll only charge $100 an hour. But there's a lot that God can clear in an hour. And I can tell you, once you've released all of the areas within there, usually you won't ever see it return. If there's anything that is you call back and say, "Well, I'm still having this, Charlene," I'll say, "Well, there's just a part of it that you haven't covered." But in most cases, you'll find that there's a lot covered, and God can do an awful lot in an hour.
From what I understand, God can do a lot in a minute.
Well, exactly. As a matter of fact, once we tell him what the issue is, see, God could clear it all. He could do it, in an instant. But the law is that we have to be a part of the clearing. In other words, if he just went in and cleared something, how would you know how you had dealt with a certain situation and now that it's changed? It teaches us a little bit more about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps us in our relationship so that we see it coming then, and then all of a sudden you go, "Wait a minute, I see that now. I won't buy into it because I see it clearly." And that's because we're a part of the process. And that seems to be the divine law, is that we need to be part of the process. And then through free agency, we ask God to pull it and to resolve it and for it to not be ours anymore.
Yeah, you're talking about people learning things from the past, and it reminds me of a book that I had worked with Julius Caesar, and it's called Conversations with Caesar. And Caesar came to me. This had occurred, of course, he was in the Bardo. These events that are listed in that book that he discusses is what happened to him after he was assassinated, and he gives the whole history of what he saw, where he was, and what he had learned from it until he was released from the Bardo, and it is an exciting story. You can find that at my website, www.carolyn, Evers.com, and that is a personal firsthand story of healing. So you could read Caesar's story of his healing, what it was like on the other side, and call Charlene for your own personal healing, sort of doing both things at the same time.
It's kind of interesting when people do those clearings from their past knowledge, because we don't understand on this earthly plane how much of that energy of knowledge that we're carrying with us and how it's making a difference in our lives and our ancestors, because we're carrying their energy of thought patterns too. And so once those cleared, it's amazing how it's like being renewed.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little, because it's not something that we always think of. We can perhaps consider that some of the events that we're dealing with has come from a past life situation of our own, but we don't always think that perhaps something that we're dealing with came to us genetically from our ancestors. In essence, some of their problems.
Basically, yeah. I had one lady, which was really, really a fun thing to do, and that was that she kept picking up on a certain nationality as a boyfriend. And then they would kind of abandon her, and she would do it again and again. And one day I said to her, wait a minute, I think we've got a pattern here. Let's find out where this was coming from. What it turned out to be, she had a great-grandmother that had a sweetheart that was of another nationality. She just absolutely loved him to pieces. And he said, well, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to earn money, and I'll come back and get you. Well, 5 years went by, and she thought maybe he'd gotten killed or died or something. So she started dating other fellows, and then he came back. But she had already married somebody else, and then he abandoned her. Then she got married again, and the next one abandoned her. So all of a sudden, those feelings from that great-grandmother had come through to her, and she was having a repeat of her great-grandma.
You know, I find that very interesting, and I would say that people who are out there listening, if you find that you have a pattern that is being repeated in your life and you're not happy with it, with the results or what's going on, it really is something to explore.
And it's kind of interesting, because once we had God pull it, pulled not only her memory of it, but pulled great-grandma's. It was interesting, because then she never did pick up on anybody of that nature that would abandon her. It was just, you know, she was repeating that memory of great-grandma. And that was a wonderful example of how we carry those memories with us.
It was an incredible experience,
I'll tell you.
I'm laughing because it reminds me of a little story that I heard about Thanksgiving turkeys.
Oh.
we had grandma, we had mom, we had the granddaughters, and they were kind of interested in how mother was cooking the turkey, the Thanksgiving turkey, because she would cut the legs off. She cut the legs off, put the turkey in the pan, and put it in the oven. And so the daughters came to her and said, Ma, why do you keep cutting the legs off the turkey? And she says, well, that's how my mother always cooked it. So she went to the mother and said, well, how come you always cooked it? And they said, well, Grandma always did that. So they went to Grandma and they said, Grandma, how come you always cut the legs off that Thanksgiving turkey before you put it in the oven? And she told them, well, my pan was too small.
I know. That's the example. That's it's just amazing. It's a hoot, but that's the way we are. And we were able to just sit back and laugh about it and go, oh, well, all right, then, Grandma, are you okay? Great-grandma, are you okay now?
Because living in the past generations was so different than it is today. They didn't have the tools that we have. There were superstitions in the past because they didn't understand.
Well, huge, huge, huge superstitions.
And so these attitudes have passed down through the genes to people in the present, and then they're dealing with emotions and events that they don't understand. And so what you're saying is that this can be cleared. Caroline, let's talk a little bit. You've mentioned this word a couple times about the God field. For those of the people who are listening who might not understand this, can you explain that a little bit?
Well, you know, God created everything. So once you go in and talk to God, you've gone into, as soon as you talk to your higher source. Some people say God, it depends on what your spiritual background is. But any time that you say God, or some say Heavenly Father, some say higher source, some say to me universe, some will say creative universe, then I always stick within that framework of what their belief system is.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you state that, you move into a higher vibrational frequency. And so then you can go in, which is actually slowing down of the brainwaves, but it's also going into the God frequency. And then you can actually say to God, and we do it all the time, if we say to God or Heavenly Father, sometimes a Native American will say Mother Earth, or whatever, you know, that they're honoring, then it actually puts you into a different energy field. And then you can go in, let's say with God, and go in and ask God to clear this, and because you've gone with intent to have God clear it, then God goes in and clears it for you, because you've given him permission to do it.
Well, folks, this is what we're talking about, clearing energy fields, healing. We have probably about 5 minutes left on the show, and if this is something that you want, give us a call at 877-876-5227. And, Charlene, in case there are those out there who perhaps don't want to call in but would want to speak to you personally because they are talking about a private matter, give your telephone number again, please.
Okay, it's 801-944-9346.
Thank you. I would also like to remind the listening audience that I work with Archangel Michael on telephone conference calls, and he comes with a host from heaven, usually individuals like Yeshua, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Pope John Paul, many angels, and we've had individuals like King Arthur. He has come at times when people in our telephone conference groups have been his knights, and he came with messages for them. So we don't always know everyone who might be there. The surprise is depending upon the people who have gathered for that time, and I would like to remind you of that. This month, for the month of May, Archangel Michael and the Heavenly Host are working on the endocrine system. And last month, they worked on the chakra system. It's fascinating work. If you want to be a part of it, want to know more about it, give me a call at Carolyn, send an email at Carolyn, CAROLYN, at CarolynEvers.com. We've had some fascinating times these last 3 months. So you might want some more information on that, want to join us. It is an incredible situation. At the end of each one of the conference calls, people have had the opportunity to ask Archangel Michael a question, and I channel his answer to you. It is a remarkable incident. Just imagine that. You've got the opportunity to speak to Archangel Michael directly. And one of the things that he mentions is he answers to Archangel Michael. His name is Michael. He pointed out the difference in the vibrational sound. Yes, there is something about the word Michael, isn't it, that just grabs you. And it is an irresistible sound to him. He is right there immediately on the name Michael. So, you want to talk to Archangel Michael, call him Archangel Michael. Ring his bell with Michael. Well, we are up to the last moments. One more time, Charlene, give your number, darling, and
okay.
Then we're going to say goodbye.
801-944-9346. I send you my love.
I send everyone my love also. And so for this evening, goodbye to everyone. See you next week.
Bye.